Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. It has finally come to the end of 6 weeks of an aggressively long pride, and I'm so excited because tonight is our party called Hangover, where we are featuring cornbread, the snack today from RuPaul's Drag Race. So tonight I am going to be wearing one of my beautiful gowns that I have had made in Texas a few times. Not made for me. I actually just bought it off a drag queen's back. And I'll be posting their information in the comments. And I just, by no offense, I'll be posting their information in the comments. When I was wearing this yellow, I'm going to wear this yellow outfit. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be gorgeous. And you'll just see the pictures online. It'll be absolutely fantastic. We're going to be doing that at the Triple Nickel Pub. And I'm really excited because, you know, this is wrapping up my pride for me. And I need to talk about what happened this last weekend at the Pride Festival. So on Saturday, I got to host on the main stage Portland Pride. And there were so many things that happened that I want to talk about on this podcast today. So we're not actually going to be doing a break today because there's just so much I need to get through and there's so much content. So let's go ahead and kick it off. So on Saturday, we loaded in our stuff. Adam was the DJ of what was called the North Stage, and we did get booked by the Pride people, but mostly through Kimber Shade, and that was really wonderful that she did that for us. And we were loading in, and this was actually a really interesting occurrence, and I do want to talk about this. When we got there, like, the security people were being really aggressive with us, and they were like, do you have a parking pass? And we were like, no, we just got here. And they're like, well, you need to get a parking pass or you'll get towed after 15 minutes. I was like, okay. So we go in there, we get set up, and then we talk to Rob. Rob was, I think he's the Pride board president, I think. And Rob was like, well, let's get you a pass. And so he's like, well, let's go talk to this other person. And I was like, okay, cool. And then the guy was like, so are you going to move your car? And we're like, well, no, because we don't have the pass yet. And he's like, well, when are you getting your pass? And I was like, we don't have it yet. We literally just got here. You saw us, like, we just pulled in 2 minutes ago and we need to start unloading. And he was like, okay, well, you need the pass. We're going to tow you. I'm like, okay. So then one of the Pride people were like, hey, you can park behind us. And that's fine. And then he was like, okay, well, that's fine for now. So we went in, we looked all around about where we were supposed to be set up at and And we finally figured out where we're going to be set up at. And then we tried to get a pass, didn't work. And we did eventually get a pass, but what was happening is, like, when we went back over there, the guy was like, okay, well, you're going to park over here. I was like, okay. And then he's like, and you have the pass, right? And I said, yes, I have the pass. And then, at that time, I think the pass was coming. And he's like, okay, well, you're going to get a pass, right? Because we're going to have to tell you. And I was like, yes. And all the people at the Pride, all of the Pride people were like, okay, can you, like, stop hassling her? She's going to get a pass. Like, and this is all happening within 30 minutes. Then what happened after that is then a black friend of mine showed up and was like also getting harassed by these same people. And then they like following her around and like yelling at her and whatever. And so Rob actually handled the situation because it just seemed really problematic that it seemed like, because I was there and I know this is going to sound problematic, but a lot of the white folks that were there, they weren't getting hassled and heckled at the level that the black folks were getting hassled and heckled about the parking situation. And it really was kind of like a bad taste in my mouth as a start to Pride. And I really hated that moment. But we did eventually get the pass. And then he was like, okay, you're going to move over here. And I said, yes, I'm going to move over here. And so I moved over there. And he's like, okay, so you're there. And I said, yes, I'm here where you told me to move, where I moved my vehicle to. What was really fascinating about it is that on Sunday, because I had to go get into drag for a drag queen story hour, I totally forgot that the parade comes through like near the festival at the waterfront. So I actually had to take a scooter and like get like 6 blocks away so I could like call an Uber. It was actually kind of funny. It actually made me a little bit late to drag queen story hour. But, I even talked to the Pride folks about doing a drag queen story hour at Pride, because I think that would be really beautiful for the kids. It was a beautiful drag queen story hour. It's always so funny when you think about the thing that's so violent, the thing that they're so scared of. They think that we're so violent and we're so terrible. And at the end of the day, we're just people playing dress up, and, you know, kids love playing dress up. So on Saturday at the main stage, I decided to, they let me perform. And I got to sing the song dedicated to my husband, which is I Can Hear the Bells, which everybody's heard a million times. And the thing is, I wasn't quite aware of where he was in the audience. I knew he was like watching because he was like, but he had his own stage. And so it just like, I didn't know what that was going to mean for like it for the song or whatever. So when I started singing it, because I really am sad about what's happening in Texas, because, you know, they're finally coming for marriage equality again. We all kind of knew that they were going to come for this, but, you know, now it's on the horizon again. And that's really heartbreaking. And so I had said something to the effect of, I got married in Portland in February of 2020. And I said, and I love this city. It's beautiful. It's diverse. And it has all these people in it. And I was like, and I found the love of my life. And like it's just kind of along those lines. And I was like, so like, it just really, I said, it's heartbreaking because they're trying to take away the one thing that means the most to me. And my marriage is one of the things that means the most to me. And yes, you would say, well, isn't it the person that means the most to you? Of course it does. But my marriage gives me the safety, security, and protections to know that loving this person, and if they get sick, or, you know, they can, if I get sick, or our family's being conjoined, or all of these things. And, you know, I do have some homophobes in my family, and I want Adam making decisions for me because he knows me the best. You know, it's just, it's part of that process. And I started singing I Can Hear the Bells, totally messed up the first verse, as I do, because I just wasn't ready for it, to do this number. And I remember as I started to sing it, I started to cry a little bit because it was so emotional of the day. Like, this was a really wonderful Pride weekend. And there, so Adam has started doing this thing when I get to the line that says, well, because I changed the words a little bit, and the part of the song, the way that the song naturally goes is like, my father will smile and he walks me down the aisle, and my mother will start to cry because I can't, but I can't see because Link and I are French kissing. So the way I change the words is, I was like, my father, he won't smile and he won't walk me down the aisle, but my mother, she'll start to cry, but I can't see because Adam and I are French kissing. And he came up on stage during that part, and I just, ooh, even saying it now, like, I started to lose it. Oh my God, finishing the rest of that song while I was like dreadfully crying was really, really, really hard. And I love this man so much, and he means the world to me. And like, it just was, it's just really hard to know that a bunch of people who believe in an all-knowing, all-powerful being who lives in the clouds, who never actually said anything about gay marriage, is now making laws in the land of men. And apparently this thing that's so wholesome, beautiful, kind, warm, and great to me is now somehow awful. And the thing is, like, my marriage is between two consenting adults, and like, it just is really heartbreaking that they're trying to rip that away. I remember as a kid, I used to always imagine and think that, like, you know, I didn't ever actually know I would get married to a man. I knew I was going to get married and I would have a white picket fence and some kiddos, and, you know, but what turned out was, you know, I got married to this human that is my favorite person, who I love hanging out with, who, when they look at me, my heart just melts. Even to this day, after years of knowing this person, they make me feel like my life is just so much brighter and better just because of the fact that they're in it. And so when I got off stage crying like a baby, it's funny, one of the volunteers said, Coco, you could have gone up there and just said Shamalong and Ding Dong, and they still would have just thought it was amazing. So, because I was actually kind of embarrassed and humiliated, because, you know, you're crying in front of like hundreds of strangers. So that was the thing. But then I remember the executive director of Pride said to me, she said, you know, Coco, she's like, the one thing that they're going to remember is the fact that you bared your soul during Pride, and you left people with a lasting impression. And then as I was leaving the festival, people were like just saying, oh my God, I loved your song, or oh my God, you made me cry, and like all of this stuff. And I just, you know, it was a really beautiful moment. That evening I went to Rise. Oh, and also I found out that I was having a gout attack, which is beautiful. I was having a gout attack. Because I was wearing tennis shoes most of the festival, as we do. And I was having a gout attack and I couldn't wear high heels, which is great because I brought them to go to Rise. And so when I went to Rise, I actually ended up changing my numbers, changing like what I was wearing, because I knew in my heart of hearts that I wasn't going to be able to wear heels. And I was in a lot of pain when we were there, so that kind of sucked. But what ended up happening was I changed my number and did my tennis shoes, and then I still killed it and whatever. And I did mess up my knee a little bit. I'm getting a little bit too old for stunts, so that's the kind of thing I need to keep an eye out on. And, you know, I need to lose a little bit more weight so I can continue rocking it out for you all. But it was a beautiful moment. Savannah O'Bennington did a great job curating this event. I got to hang out with my boys, which I call the harem, which is a poly group of friends that I'm friends with. And they're just all really wonderful and amazing individuals. And so that was also really, really great. Sunday came around and we kind of just redid the same thing. So DJ Barefist was there, which was great. He covered pretty much all of the bands, which was wonderful. And then after that, I went to my drag queen story hour and read a couple of books to the kiddos. And I was so exhausted by this point. But on Sunday, I think after drag queen story hour, I was at Chill Dolls, which is Katya's event for an after pride chill down party. I actually got my nails done by an amazing nail tech, got to talk on the microphone some more and spend some time with my man, who did get dehydrated for most of the festival because it was like 89 degree weather and we're doing drag, right? So it just it was really, really good. Then I did have to go to karaoke, which I totally forgot karaoke was even happening, so that was kind of fun. But, you know, like at the end of the day, like it really, Pride is a journey for a lot of us. And Pride did start as a protest. I did say yesterday that I was really disappointed about what happened in Oregon City, because as much as I know that that seems rude and awful, and I don't mean to pick at the scab, but the portion of their Pride Festival that they canceled was the drag aspect. And the thing is, Pride was started by like trans and drag people, right? You know, like this is something that we need to remember, because when you kick out drag queens from Pride, drag kings and things, but drag queens specifically, when you kick out drag queens from Pride, you're literally saying the thing, part of the group that started all of this is a group that's not welcome to celebrate their own existence. And that feels really messed up when they're part of the people who started this. Now, I will say this though, I get safety. Safety is a big thing. I thought about that for my drag queen story hour. I thought about safety a lot. And I recognize that I understand people don't want to put their kids in a situation. They're trying to think about safety. But the thing is, Pride has always been a demonstration. It's always been a protest. And if we forget that it's been a demonstration and we forget that it's been a protest, then we're going to end up repeating ourselves, which, to be honest, it sounds like we're just gradually repeating ourselves. But it's weird. We're starting with the recent things and working backwards. It's almost like people are just now discovering that queer people exist again. It's like, what is happening? And so I want to say my overall Pride experience has been beautiful. And then Monday and Tuesday, I took the days off. I just didn't want to participate. And yesterday, I just hung out with some friends. And that was really great, too. I just, you got to remember, like, now that I am, because I just celebrated my birthday, I'm 37 years old, that this stuff wears on your body after a while. And the thing is, I'm so excited for Cornbread the Snack Tete being there tonight and getting to hang out with her and all of my friends as this hangover party happens. The thing is, I have now, and then I also had my very first Back to Earth party. And what that was, so Back to Earth is a new queer bar that has opened in Portland. And I did my first show there and it was fantastic. It was fun. But I will say that it is different being back in that space that used to be Local Lounge and, you know, throwing a show and doing the things that I do. And the show was great. The show was fabulous. Everybody had a great time. I just also know that at the end of the day that that space specifically is a different direction. It's a different vibe. And I'm excited to be a part of the story. I also got to hang out with the owner of Back to Earth at Under You for Men for a block party. And that was so great because I ran into a couple of my like dancing friends and like got to drink and got a lot of affirmations. Like it was just such a great time. And me and Autumn were hanging out during that festival and party. And it was just so much fun. And I loved it so much. Yeah, it just was a magical weekend. I've never been more tired in my life. Literally, I was being kept alive by a prayer. I don't even know what was happening. I drank so much water and barely had to pee. And that's how you know it was real bad. Like, I drank so much water because I was worried about getting dehydrated. And so what I'm looking to forward into the future is that, you know, we have our RuPaul's Drag Race, the season finale coming up on Friday. And then I'll be at TGIF on Friday. And then Saturday, I'm out at the fair, actually, for Washington County Fair. And I'm really excited about that. That should be really cool. And then Sunday, I'm going to be going back to karaoke at Gigantic and just doing my damn thing. And I'm just so excited that I get to be so part of this community. You know, the one thing that people have been asking me about, and I guess I'll just share this here. I understand that I'm not really well-liked by one of the most well-respected drag queens in this city. The funny thing is, if I, you know, talking about this is not because I'm trying to cancel or create beef or whatever, but I walk in my own lane and I understand that not everybody's going to like you, and that's okay. However, we do always have to work in this city together, and I've been finding that it's been harder to work in the same city as this person because they don't acknowledge me. I can say hello to them. They will look over me. I can say, how are you doing? And she will not respond. And she never says hello to me. She never sparks up a conversation. And I don't think that you have to necessarily, but being cordial for the people that you work in the community with. You know, LaWanja Jackson had said to me once, she said, Coco, why aren't you talking a lot in the dressing room? And I said, well, I was like, I'm just uncomfortable. I was like, I know that some of these people don't like me. And like, so I, you know, I'm just here to do my thing and put on my smiles. I just think that we need to check our own ego sometimes. No matter what pretty hat you're wearing, no matter who you are in the community, it doesn't hurt you to be kind. It just doesn't hurt you to be kind. Even if things are going awry, things are going wrong or whatever, there's just no reason to have such maliciousness for other members of your community. The way that we build community together is by listening to one another, respecting each other's ideas, and growing together. When you gatekeep even how you grow as a community, it really does keep the community at a certain level that it could literally rise above from. So I guess my two cents on that situation is this. Listen, I'm so sorry for whatever I may or may not have done to you, but let's move forward. And I don't even say as like as friends or colleagues as much as I mean move forward and grow and build. Like in the drag community, it's so weird. Like back in the day, you weren't friends with everybody. But nowadays, it seems like you're supposed to be, and that's always kind of odd. I have my haters. I have those people in my life. But I want to keep moving forward and making a great difference in my community as much as I can. Because if Pride showed me anything, is that I have had a lot of great success. Hosting on the main stage of Pride was one of my greatest life achievements to this date. And I've felt so proud of myself. And you know, it's funny, didn't it make my Instagram follower count grow or anything like that, but it was a good time. So I guess what I want to say is this, and this is kind of how I want to leave it. As we continue to grow as a community and we continue to build, remember that kindness is free. Something I said all weekend. Remember that kindness is free. You can change the world by showing people who you are. And then you can make a difference in your community just by being yourself and being open about the things that you want to see and the things that you hope to change. Yeah. Let's leave it there. Bye.
This has been another episode of the Gem of a Secret podcast. The host of the Gem of a Secret podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. You can follow her at Coco Jem Holiday on Instagram, COCOJEM Holiday. The music for today's episode is provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them respectively on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and at Party Favors Music. We film our episodes to be released every Thursday. Please, lastly, visit our website at gemofasecretpodcast.com. That is A-J-E-M of a secret.